fuck you! Australia! Germany! Africa!
Here we go. Head On with Bob Kincaid. 3 hours of conversation, cussing, and a discussing with America's only born and bred Southern liberal talk host. Head On with Bob Kincaid is brought to you each night by Coal River Mountain Watch. Coal River Mountain Watch invites you to become part of the solution, part of a sustainable future, part of the uprising against mountaintop removal. Coal River Mountain Watch, CRMW.net. And now, from high in the hills of beautiful West Bicod, Virginia, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy! And here we are. So it is that we begin. It is a minute past the hour, a minute past 6 p.m. on this, the third day of September 2015. This program is live, live on the horn. HeadOnRadioNetwork.com is where we live. That's where you go if you would like to be part of the real-time multimedia extravaganza. That is the Horn chat room. Just click on chat room, pick yourself out a screen name and a password, and you will be right there in the thick of things. Yes, indeed, you will indeed. I'm headed there myself, even as we speak. Good evening to Jug of Punch, Texas Tea. I'm sure that longtime veteran, indefatigable, inveterate chat room moderator Sparky and Lottie will be along in short order. We'll have a good time in the chat room this evening, just as we always do during the hours during which this program is, in fact, live. Also at Head On... Oh, hi, I'm Bob Kincaid. Also at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com, we have, of course, the ever-present and, in fact, the ubiquitous Contribute tab. Uh-huh. That's how we have managed for yay verily and forsooth keep this program on the air for lo these many years. Mm-hmm. And thank you very kindly to, first of all, to the marvelously coherent Diane from Kansasstan, who helped get us going last night. We find ourselves with a fundraising goal of $136.98 that with an extra $10 coming off of the previous fundraising goal, courtesy of John. Thank you, John. Yes, indeed. And let's see, we'll do a little bit more ciphering. And we find ourselves with a fundraising goal of $121.98, courtesy of Daniel. Thank you very kindly, Daniel. Much obliged. Oh, I'm sorry, that goes to the equipment fund. I misspoke. So the fundraising goal for the evening stands at $136.98 on this Thorn in the Side Thursday. And, you know, it's just interesting how things work out. I was doing a little bit of reading last night just because I'm nerdy that way. We knowers of words have a thing about reading them as well. And I happened to go looking around, and I found a few firsthand accounts of things pertaining to my father's life at sea. And this is just neat. It was exactly 70 years ago today, that my father's the ship on which my father served, the USS Essex, received orders to begin steaming away, and did begin steaming away from the general the vicinity of Tokyo Bay, and headed toward its home port in Washington State at Bremerton. The day had just gone from being September 2nd to September the 3rd as I lay reading, and I went, well, son of a gun, how about that? So, yes, 70 years ago today. Hi, Dad, wherever you are or aren't. Just 70 years ago seems like a very long time, but it is but the bat of an eye. Took 10 days, as a matter of fact. It took 10 days to get from the general area of Tokyo Bay to Bremerton, Washington, aboard what was then one of the fastest aircraft carriers, if not the fastest, in the world. 10 days. And after that, a young man's life, and a lot of young men's lives, and a lot of lives, had been irrevocably changed. Let's see, a couple of things to take note of. One of which is, Agnes and I have had an absolutely, had a lovely day. I mentioned that Brother Deacon Asa was going to be in the general neighborhood all the way from Vancouver up there in Canada. And so it was that we spent the afternoon together with Asa and his lovely wife, just walking around and seeing some sights here in almost level West by Cole, Virginia, Stan. Had a beautiful time having lunch there at my favorite little hangout in Fayetteville, Secret Sandwich Society. And, well, I just have to tell you. Yeah, I made a promise a long time ago that I would never do Limbaugh radio. Not just never do conservative right-wing radio, but never do radio while, by virtue of any substance, bombed and or blitzed out of my mind. Now, in the case of Rush Limbaugh, it's a very, very tiny mind. I think it's a little bit larger here, but that's neither here nor there. I just promised that. But this evening, I have to tell you, it's a challenge. But I have risen to the challenge, for I have not yet touched it. But you hear this? That is the sound that a bottle, a 750 milliliter bottle of 7-year-old Añejo Havana Club rum makes when you set it on your broadcast desk and slide it across to where one may look at it while talking about it. This is something very, very special, because it remains because of the stupidity of the American embargo of things Cuban, impossible to have here in Merca, the greatest country in the world on earth now, today, forever. Indeed. I have not sampled it, though I do admit that I did break the seal. I unscrewed the top, but I have in no wise even tasted it. I confess that having unscrewed the top, I did linger long and, well, longingly, just taking in the bouquet of its delightful aroma, the magic of aged and fermented sugarcane squeezins. And maybe, just maybe, after the program is over this evening, I'll get myself a very small glass and pour just a little taste, Agnes and me, and then I will avail myself of one of the... You're not listening, are you, Agent Fred? No? Good. Avail myself of one of the Monte Cristo number fours that came with the aforesaid Havana Club rum. Not to abuse, but to enjoy. Yes. So, as I said, we had a lovely afternoon together. We'll probably get together maybe for lunch tomorrow before they head out. We just, you know, did a little sightseeing around the general area here of the New River Gorge. This, the second oldest river on Earth, down, with the magnificence of the gorge, the canyon, if you will. And just had an absolutely lovely, lovely afternoon. So... thank you, Brother Deacon Asa, for the communion sacrament. Well, how about that? Despite the plea agreement, Carol Baker notes, yum, I loves me some rum, and I don't drink. It's all I can stomach. In fact, there are a couple of photographs. I will put them up via Twitter and Facebook at some point in the evening. We had a lovely time. I hadn't quite checked to see just how awesome the photographs were. The photographs are in fact awesome. And the Goddess of Irony even took care of some business, because I was wearing my official Cubano Guayabera. So that'll come in handy for rum drinking and cigar smoking here, maybe in about 2 hours and 47 minutes, he said, doing some quick temporal ciphering on the fly. Yeah, see, Marty understands with regard to the greatest country in the world on Earth now, today, forever. Marty says, you left out the freest. Where else can citizens enjoy the freedom of not being able to go to another country? Or enjoy that country's wares? Indeed. Indeed. But it's Thorn in the Side Thursday here at the Horn, and we have a veritable bramble of stuff to talk about this evening. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. We do indeed. See, I'm just checking some technical stuff here to make sure. If it's carry the 3 7/8. Yeah, we're all good there with the stress line. It's hooked up and ready and waiting for your calls here in a little bit. Brother Deacon Asa, you have inspired Brother Marty. Brother Marty says, that'll get me back to Canada. I was thinking more of Victoria than Vancouver. But then again, I could do both. Yeah, rub it in. Why don't you, Marty? How about this? Apparently, United States District Judge Bunning, apparently thinks the way I do. Because guess who got ordered off to the pokey today?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. Yep. None other than Sister Clerk Kim Davis. You know, the woman who in Kentucky has been thumbing at her nose at the idea of living in civil society, has declared that if she can't have her way, that we can't have a nation built on laws and not people, because she's just that important. And guess why? If you remember the Horn Family Commune Congregation, I want you to pat yourselves on the back right now, and we'll just give ourselves a collective ring of the cowbell. More cowbell, really. Because we were ahead of the curve on something. It turns out a couple of nights ago, when we were discussing Sister Clerk Kim Davis, I pointed out, or one of us pointed out, that the fines that might be levied against Sister Clerk Kim Davis would simply be paid by a giant fundraising scam via Indiegogo or GoFundMe or Kickstarter or whatever. Maybe there's one for the Jesus freaks called Christ Starter. I don't know. Go save me. Whatever. But Judge Bunning, having hailed her into court for having thumbed her nose and spat on the idea of constitutional governance, he ordered her off to the sneezer. Well, there's a potential bumper, but I don't know if I've got it. Maybe Ron and Raleigh does. 30 days in the hole? But actually, it's an indeterminate sentence. Because as I described the other night, Sister Clerk Kim Davis holds the keys to her own jail cell. She was led away from the courtroom by U.S. Marshals. That, according to the Lexington Herald leaders, John Cheeves. And in point of fact, Judge Bunning specifically said to Sister Clerk Kim Davis, who has Christian family values, multiple times, he specifically refused to fine her because he said there would be no point to it, because a bunch of snake handling, tongue rolling, floor speaking, strychnine swigging, right, godly, evangelical, fundamentalist, Christ-centered, upstanding, Bible-believing Christians would just pay the fine for her so that she could continue to crap all over the Constitution for as long as she pleased. But not now. She was given an opportunity to testify, Sister Clerk Davis was. And she cried in the name of Jesus. And she testified about her religious faith. But John Cheeves of the Lexington Herald Leader tweeted that she was stoic as the marshal led her off to the hoosegow. And this is where it gets creepy, and this is where we know that the hand of the devil is involved with all of this, because U.S. District Judge Bunning said, "Well, I have my own religious beliefs as a Roman Catholic, but all of us public officials have to respect the law." And like I said, that, you know, he's one of the Mary worshipers. I'm sure that's what they call him there at the Apostolic Holiness Tabernacle and Herpetological Sanctuary, attended by Sister Clark Kim Davis and her gun-toting hubby, number four, I believe it is. Interviewed by Todd Starnes over there at Fox News TV Radio Rwanda, she said, "I've weighed the cost, and I'm prepared to go to jail. I sure am. This has never been a gay nor lesbian issue for me. This is about upholding the Word of God." Ha! Well, she's upholding it from a jail cell now. She knowed it was a coming for her. Because she said, "I would have to either make a decision to stand, or I would have to buckle down and leave. And if I left, resigned, or chose to retire, I would have no voice for God's word." Because after all, it says right there that all county clerks in the Commonwealth of Kentucky shall be a voice for God's word. I'm informed by Sister Carol that five of her six clerks don't share her passion for Jeebus or her understanding that he hates the Homer sectionals enough to keep them from a getting married. Her son, her living son, was the only holdout. And so now, somehow or another, he's going to have to get by without, I guess, regular breastfeeding. Some of those clerks are perfectly willing to issue marriage licenses, but they had been afraid not of God, but of the woman who had the power to fire her, because, of course, Kentucky is an at-will employment state, for any reason or no reason. According to Shannon Ragland at the Kentucky Trial Court Review, she said that Sister Clerk Kim Davis's, quote, "conduct has terrorized not just her staff, but everyone that works in the courthouse, and all for a foolish mission aided by out-of-state charlatan lawyers," that would be your Liberty Lobby, out of Floridistan, trying to raise money for their religious liberty mission. No word yet on whether or not she has decided to take the keys to her own cell in hand and release herself by simply following the law of the land. Nope, no word. Because, see, here's the problem. These weirdo, evangelical, fundamentalist Christian Taliban types get off on thinking that they're being persecuted. But again, a little pat on the back for all of us, because we saw this coming. Had he fined her, there would have just been a perpetual and ongoing campaign to cover the fees of Sister Clerk Kim Davis as she stands in the breach. Again, the hand of Satan a-moving in Merca. Meanwhile, over in the Twitter sphere, lots of paranoid, and I do mean paranoid, tweeting. Here's a little gnat sound. After Judge Bunning followed the Constitution of the United States and 200 years of settled case law precedent that begins with Marbury versus Madison in, what, 1802, 1803, something like that? Yeah. This was the scene as word broke that she was going to be heading off to the Hoosegow.
Let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go, let's go.
Yeah, see, that was the people who were possessed by Satan, chanting, "Go away, go away, go away. Someone may drop a house on you." Mm-hmm. Eric Erickson over to the redneck state tweeted, "Seriously? They're jailing Kim Davis? Good grief." Well, Eric, you moron, if you choose to openly defy a judge appointed under Article 3 of the Constitution of these here in the United States, yes, you will be jailed. You will. Honest to goodness, you will. I'm not kidding. But Eric Erickson understands what an upside down, topsy turvy world we live in now, because he took to his Twitter and he said, "Kim Davis is in jail and Hillary Clinton is running for president. Unreal." Oh, but the paranoia is rolling like mighty seas that just bring waves of Pepto-Bismol begging nausea. Mm-hmm. Let's see, some other remarks from the Twitterverse. All caps, of course. "So be it. It's only the beginning. Prepare for a holy war. We're tired of having religious beliefs trampled upon." And then there's there's Megan Miller. "I'm moving to Mexico or somewhere else that's not in this pathetic country. Hashtag Kim Davis, hashtag Kentucky Clerk, hashtag shame on people." Mm-hmm. Somebody called Hail Razor said, "San Francisco bigwigs ignore immigration laws causing woman's death. Nah. Kentucky clerk ignores same-sex marriage law, hurts feelings. Jail." Because it's a one-to-one analog. Those two situations are exactly alike. Because, of course, gay people who want to get married are just like immigrants, undocumented, from south of the border of the new United States of America. The greatest country in the world on earth now, today, forever. Mm-hmm. You know it. Because, see, a couple of guys who want to pick out a China pattern, or a couple of women who want to get some of those, get all married up and have them fancy little shell-shaped soaps that nobody uses in the guest bathroom, they are just like Mexicans, because, see, they ain't real citizens neither. Or at least they weren't until earlier this summer, when the full weight of the 14th Amendment was finally granted to them. Yeah. One wonders if polycotton blend in a bright orange fabric is good for her. Ron and Raleigh pointing out, no, orange is not her color. Marty says, apparently, Sister Clerk Kim Davis's out-of-state lawyer from the Liberty Council grift, and it's all tax-free down in Floridistan, he violated Godwin's law because in his arguments he compared, no kidding, in front of a federal district judge, he compared Sister Clerk Kim Davis to a Jew under the Nazis. No, he really did. And Marty also pointing out, and go figure. Well, see, this is why we don't allow right-wingers on the program. Marty pointing out, somebody called Hartman today to say that Kimmy's a political prisoner. The stupidity. Oh, the stupidity. Well, the stupid is strong with that one. Oh, yeah. Matt Walsh. I don't know who Matt Walsh is. He's some right-wing moron, apparently. Matt Walsh said, if you think Kim Davis should be in prison, but Hillary should be in the White House, you're either an obtuse buffoon or a dishonest buffoon. So what kind of buffoon does that make you, Matt? For thinking that an ignorant woman who doesn't even understand the first thing about religion, Christianity, the Constitution, or anything else, should be able to tap dance on the on more than 200 years of government because she's a bigot. No, that doesn't make you a buffoon at all. That makes you a what? A moron. Oh yeah, they're in full on high dudgeon. Whatever happened to religious freedom? Is this the law of the land? And Tremaine Ray, whomever he or she is, this is so biblical, the end times. So I'm not surprised. I'm praying for Kim Davis. Stand for Christ. Y'all keep it up, will you? You're doing a lot of us a real favor this way, because with all of it, you're killing Christianity, which probably never should have gotten its hooks into human flesh in the first place. But y'all are finishing it off. You're polishing it right off. Because there are very few people out there that want anything to do with you weirdos, or apparently any savior of yours who is as weird as you are. Judge David Bunning thumbs his nose at God's word, sends Kentucky County Clerk Kim Davis to jail for her Christian faith. Yeah, see, she's not a political prisoner because we don't give political prisoners the keys to their own cell, you know? Agnes just wandered in back here to the studio. Sister Clerk Kim Davis has done been sent to prison in the name of Jesus.
Oh, that's sad.
Sister Agnes is all busted up, we can tell. No, really, dab away your tears, darling.
To get home confinement.
No, she's gone off to the stir. She's doing time of an indeterminate sentence pending her decision to follow constitutional law.
If you have a job, do your job. Your belief system doesn't matter.
Calm yourself, sister. Calm yourself.
I'm good.
Greetings to Lady Agnes. She sends love, Marty. Dana Loesch, who is herself a top-notch, bizarre, moron weirdo, said,
I just think it's amusing that the left is trying to pretend she's not one of their own. So many lols.
This is because she ran for county clerk there in Round County as a Democrat. That makes her a liberal. Because all Democrats are liberals.
Biggest liberal since Ted Kennedy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Dana Loesch apparently doesn't have quite the cerebral fortitude to understand that there are still places in Merca where whether or not you achieve political office is determined by whether or not you are a member of the dominant political party in that particular county. See, you know, everywhere all over the South. See, Republican Party in Mississippi stand, Republican Party in Alabama, that kind of thing. Todd Starnes is upset in the name of Jesus. He says the federal government has started incarcerating Christians. And cited, of course, to a Fox News TV Radio Rwanda story, Kentucky clerk, this is a fight worth fighting. But this is, understand, this is still a part of a big hustle. whenever it is that she decides to resign as clerk, as soon as she's figured it, and that will be exactly the minute that the GoFundMe campaign hits about $1 million. And I'm sure she's got a side agreement with the folks over there at Liberty Council that they'll get two-thirds, and they'll get one-third, and she'll get two-thirds. Mm-hmm. Earther pointing out via the chat room, a black conservative on Hartman's TV show was harping on the she's a Democrat and she's a leftist meme. Honest to God, I will never understand. There is not a hell of a lot of space out there for progressive broadcasting. Why, oh Jesus, why do we give away time to the weirdo right-wing freaks? I don't know. I never will. If that woman's a leftist, I'm Karl Marx, okay? Are we clear? Brother. But no, this is a long con. Please understand that. This is a long con. Sister Carol notes, I don't give a fuck how rich she gets. These are the same assholes sending their disability checks to Pat Robertson. True, it's not like it was going to... They were... Sheep were made to be fleeced. And these sheeple were going to be fleeced one way or the other. But it's a long con, and the fundraising is on now. Yep. But there is, admittedly, a little bit of schadenfreude that attends all of this. There can't help but be. Of course, the goddess of irony, although equally as imaginary as all the other gods and goddesses, is obviously the most powerful, because David Bunning there in the U.S. District Court for the whatever district of Kentucky stand, he was appointed to the court by dim leader. Oh, Kim Davis hung on your own petard. How's about that? Mm-hmm. That's just delightful. Oh, well, okay, a little clarification from Gerald. All Democrats are liberals. All Democrats are liberals? What the? Yeah, because obviously Dana Loesch, Moran, has never met, say, Gert, you know, Governor Earl Ray Tomlin, who's about as... Well, he makes Rush Limbaugh look like a member of the Progressive Coalition. That's true, Marty. Maybe instead of having that religious huckster lawyer, maybe she could have used Tom Brady's lawyer, who went into federal court today or yesterday, and apparently did such a compelling job of arguing his client's case that Roger Goodell over there at the nonprofit National Football League, I just love saying that, got plum rat slapped. But in case anybody was wondering, Michael points out that Sister Clerk Kim Davis is a biblical abomination, according to Deuteronomy 24:4. See, after Kim Davis divorced husband number 3, who she committed adultery with while married to husband number 1, she remarried husband number 2. I'm already lost. But according to God's law, which is what she follows, not that secular humanist law, You can only remarry someone whom you have divorced if you've not married any other individuals. You have to. You can only have been married once. And if after divorce you marry somebody else, you may not divorce the new spouse and remarry a previous spouse. You may, according to the Old Testament, amended by the New Testament, banning virtually all divorces, even those before 20 weeks. I see what you did there, Michael. Marry many times and divorce many, many times, just so long as you don't marry the same person twice after having married a second person. You could marry and divorce and remarry and re-divorce the same person time and time again, provided, because there's always one of them, you don't marry anybody else during those marriages, divorces, and remarriages. The word abomination is kind of important here, referred to by Scripture, the inerrant word of God in the King James Bible with no shaking and no spearing, directly to the actions of Kim Davis allowed to occur because there was no Bible-believing county clerks that refused Kim Davis a marriage certificate to prevent that abomination. In fact, the two verses of Leviticus, which refer to man laying with man as woman as with a woman, Leviticus 18:22 and Leviticus 20:13, both use the word abomination. So by being an abomination herself, Kim Davis cannot, to any honest observer, argue that she is distressed by the abomination of to gays. Well said, Mike. Well said indeed. Thank you. And there it is. At crowdrise.com, the Kim Davis Miracle Makeover Fund, they've only raised $40 so far, because no self-respecting gay man will fix that fucking hair. Mm-mm. No, she's stuck with it. Yep. Yeah, all Democrats are liberals. Hey, Joe Manchin, how does that feel? It feels like somebody called you a dirty word? I know. Sister Clerk Kim Davis's mugshot is now up online. Yep. Yeah, that hair's beyond redemption. You're absolutely right, Carol. Everybody just loves it when Agnes wanders back into the studio. Almost makes me wish I could afford to hire her to produce. Steve in New York hollering, "Amen! Can I get a witness for what Sister Agnes done said?" You can get just about anything you want, Steve. It's a regular joint. Marty says Hartman enjoys the debate with these right wingers. Okay. Hell, I enjoy seven-year-old Añejo Havana Club, but you don't see me subjecting y'all to that now, do you? And frankly, I would make more sense than a stone cold sober right winger if I was already three quarters of the way into the bottle. But I'll not be doing that because I can't get that very often. This is gonna be some tasting rum, not any guzzler. This is not guzzler's rum. No, not by a long shot. Well, yes, as a matter of fact, Gerald, in Kim Davis's mugshot, she does look right pissed off. She's not reveling in the glory of the Lord in standing up for Jebus, who, although being triune with the Almighty Creator of the universe, was somehow not quite powerful enough to stop Judge Bunning, whom he already done had appointed to the bench by dim leader because Judge Bunning was an upstanding Christian conservative who could be counted on not to legislate from the bench. Yeah. But that is by no means all that is out there today. Oh, no, not by a long shot. So I warned you, what was it, Friday? That there was a big to-do coming out. Yeah, because the idiots over to Project Veritas had announced that they had a big, groundbreaking, breaking, big news story. This is a special report thingy going to happen this past Tuesday. James O'Keefe's outfit announced that they were going to have a, they'd already rented out the, rented out a room at the National Press Club. And I mean, you don't do that unless you got some real live, honest to goodness, no kidding news to be breaking. And they promised it was going to be big, splashy. Yeah. And so there it was for immediate release. Contact Daniel Pollack. Phone 914-908-2321. Media at projectveritasaction.com. Yes, for immediate release. Clinton campaign's national director of marketing caught on camera illegally accepting foreign contribution. Oh, my God! Trickle-down corruption. Hillary's top lieutenants caught on hidden camera by James O'Keefe violating election law from the very beginning. Very and beginning are both capitalized, of course. Lots of capitalization here because this is very important. Hillary's national compliance manager acknowledged the illegality and walked away just prior to the transaction. Oh, my God, this is going to be huge. This is going to be bigger than emails. This is going to be bigger than Monica. This is going to be bigger than Vince Foster. We have to stop the endless flow of secret, unaccountable money that is distorting our elections, corrupting our political process, and drowning out the voices of our people. And that's a quote from Hillary Clinton. Dateline, New York, September 1, 2015. Award-winning journalist... Apparently, he found something in a box of Cracker Jacks one time. Whew! Award-winning journalist James O'Keefe. Why does this not start charged with a felony convicted by plea bargain of a misdemeanor, James O'Keefe, and New York Times best-selling author, James O'Keefe. And, you know, you really, if you were good, you should put that little dagger symbol there, because that means that the Koch brothers bought like 70 bajillion copies of it, delivered in crates, and just had it shipped straight to Dollar General and the Dollar Tree for immediate sale for two for a buck, has released a powerful new undercover video confirming that corruption has permeated Hillary Clinton's campaign at the highest levels. Oh, my God. Really? Is Bill Ayers involved? How about Reverend Goddamn America Wright? Maybe he's in it too. No mention of Shirley Sherrod, because she will sue your sorry right wing ass and win when you slime her. You know it. And you know, that's a really great way to keep them straight. Well, I mean, keep them separate. Let's put it that way. Randy and PA pointing out, you know, I used to get James O'Keefe and Breitbart mixed up. Except I remember now that Breitbart is dead. That was me laughing, not Randy. Yeah, I before C, except after Breitbart, because he's dead. let's see, where were we? Permeated Hillary Clinton's campaign at the highest levels. Is Barbie listening this evening? I haven't provided one of these to Barbie in a while, and this is a perfect time for it. Contrary to the claims of Hillary apologists, this story extends far beyond interns, volunteers, and low-level state staffers. Moreover, Hillary's campaign didn't merely skirt the law, they knowingly and intentionally violated it. A Clinton official reached out to Time magazine, which broke this story, and said the campaign is confident it upheld the law. The campaign refused to comment to Project Veritas Action. Okay. So a lot of pontificating here, a whole lot of oh my God, and whatever must have happened. I mean, was somebody slipping little brown lunch sacks full of unmarked $100 bills from say, I mean, this is foreign money from maybe like some Saudi prince or maybe ISIS or oh my God, Benghazi to Hillary's. Chief of financial fundraising? Was that what it was? Ho zounds! In this latest video from Project Veritas Action, attorney Aaron Tybe, compliance manager for Hillary Clinton's national campaign, clearly and explicitly counsels Molly Barker that the campaign can't take contributions from anyone that is not a citizen of the new United States of America. The greatest country in the world on earth, now, today, forever. Wow, this sounds serious. I mean, they may really have something here. Oh my God. This is big, I tell you. It's big. Barker serves as the director of marketing for Hillary's national campaign. Barker is not only captured on tape accepting the illegal contribution when asked if it was illegal by a Project Veritas Action journalist. She replied, not technically. Oh, well, sir, see, they're relying on technicalities again. God, nothing changes. We're right back there again, all over with the definition of what is. The flag is falling. Where's the stained dress? Oh, my Jesus! During Clinton's kickoff campaign event at Roosevelt Island, a Canoodlian from Canada? God, why didn't we build the wall before? A Canadian citizen with no affiliation to Project Veritas Action that we're going to admit to attempted to make a donation to the Clinton campaign by... Y'all sitting down? This is big, I'm telling you, big. It's huge. Huge! By purchasing a Hillary shirt. Barker knew that this was illegal, a fact that was confirmed by Clinton's national compliance manager, Aaron Tybe, yet proceeded to process the contribution for the T-shirt. Tybe quickly walked away rather than ensuring the campaign was adhering to the law, while Barker facilitated a strawman transaction where the Canadian citizen gave cash to an American citizen who subsequently purchased the shirt for the Canadian under Barker's direction. Thus, Barker, who was fully aware of the law, didn't merely look the other way like Tybe did. Rather, she actually facilitated election illegality. This is it? Hey, here's $25. Would you hand it to the nice lady over there and get me one of those Hillary T-shirts? I like what they've done with the H. Hey. It's just a darn shame they don't have Hillary toques. Oh. That's it. Project Veritas Action President James O'Keefe convicted of a misdemeanor, having been charged with a felony for trying to wiretap the offices of former Louisiana Senator Mary Landrieu. No, that's not in the press release somehow or another. I'd like to thank Hillary Clinton for making our job so easy, said Project Veritas Action President James O'Keefe. Our journalists were on a reconnaissance mission at Hillary's campaign launch when, by chance, a Canadian citizen from Canoodalia wanted to make a contribution, and as you can see in the video, Clinton's top staffers were happy to oblige. Project Veritas Action will be releasing additional videos related to the Clinton campaign. Stay tuned, and Hillary, check your email! Seven up. So that was what the big kerfuffle was at the where they rented out the room at the National Press Club and everything. Writing about the whole thing over at Salon, and thank you to our buddy the Angry Indian for cluing me into this. I knew this was coming, but I didn't know what the outcome had been. Scott Eric Kaufman, writing at Salon, refers to James O'Keefe as professional troll. James O'Keefe has been teasing journalists for weeks about an undercover operation that could take down Hillary Clinton. I've received 4 email blasts from O'Keefe's Project Veritas about these videos in the past 48 hours alone, so I was surprised to learn that the trickle-down corruption he'd come to expose amounted to a Project Veritas operative buying a few Hillary-themed T-shirts for a Canadian. You read that right. O'Keefe's own operative captured herself on camera. You remember the part in the press release about who had nothing to do with Project Veritas purchasing the shirts on behalf of a Canadian, and this, O'Keefe claimed, demonstrates the criminal mendacity of the Clinton campaign. Well, of course it does. And if you cross them, James O'Keefe is living in a secure, undisclosed location because he knows how bloodthirsty Hillary Clinton is, and she will come and shoot him right in the head, just like she did Vince Foster. Olivia Nuzzi from the Daily Beast was in attendance at the National Press Club rented out room press conference, and she wasn't biting. She tweeted out, Olivia Nuzzi did, "Where did I go wrong in life that this morning I find myself at a James O'Keefe press conference?" James O'Keefe is showing a video of Clinton staffers allegedly illegally allowing a Canadian woman to buy campaign swag. That's literally it, she continued via Twitter. I feel like I'm inside a gigantic hoax. O'Keefe says one Canadian lady trying to buy a T-shirt is just like what Dinesh D'Souza did. Only, of course, it's not. Olivia Nuzzi says, I can't stop laughing. Don't even try, Olivia. You're not supposed to. We do have other evidence that's coming out that's going to be more officials across the country breaking the law, O'Keefe says. It's not about the dollar amount. It's about the willingness to break the law, O'Keefe says. The dollar amount is $75 for the record. Wow, that must have been 3 T-shirts. O'Keefe admits he didn't contact the FEC about this allegedly illegal activity, and at this time they don't plan to contact the FEC. When it got to the question-asking time, Emma Roller tweeted, question from Olivia Nuzzi. Is this a joke? This feels like a prank. O'Keefe, the Clinton campaign doesn't think it's a joke. Don't laugh at me. Stop it. Really? Quit laughing. This is serial. Speaking of the goobers who shot the video, O'Keefe said, these are not amateurs. We have a sort of SEAL Team 6, he said of his, and these are not the Baker Street Irregulars by any stretch of the imagination. Oh, no. I live for this stuff. I so really do live for this stuff. Because you can't make it up. Oh, hells no. Not if you tried. Wait a minute. A little cowbell for Earther. There's also a video of Hillary drinking water, Bob. You know who else drank water, right, Bob? Huh? And we do. We do know who else drank water. Nah, I'm not going to say it. It's not going to be that easy. Oh, no. I told you we had a veritable bramble this evening. I ain't joking. Thorn in the Side Thursday is reserved for those moments of right wingery that make you go, oh, what? Yeah. And we have more. Lots and lots more. Yes. Yes, we do. And, of course, the phone lines are open if you want to participate in the program. 304-574-8178 or 304-663-HORN, 304-663-4676. Skype to Skype from anywhere on the planet. Bob Kincaid Horn, BobKincaidHorn. Absolutely. Email comes into bobkincaid@gmail.com. Mm-hmm. And you can find me on Twitter at Bob Kincaid. And on Facebook, come on, you know, Bob Kincaid. Yeah, it's interesting how it works out that way. So we'll take a little break, and we'll come back to your calls or more filibobstering, further brambles. Mm-hmm. And if you're on hold, please stay that way, and we'll get right to it when we come back from our little musical interlude, courtesy of Ron and Raleigh. You asked for it, Ron says. Ask and it shall be given unto you. And a reminder, just in case anybody forgot, we, after an hour of broadcasting for this Thorn in the Side Thursday, are still at $136.98 to go for fundraising this here evening. $136.98. 13 people at 13.69 people at $10 or 10 people at $13.69. Because we can round. Yeah. This is listener-supported conversation radio. This is the horn. And I'm just waiting for it to load. There we go. I'm Bob Kincaid. Come on, you can do it. There we go.
All right, Ted.
Anyone doing that one?
Which one?
30.
I'm doing it.
30 days in the hole.
Yes.
Yeah. 30 days in the hole. 30 days in the hole.
Oh, yeah. Come on in, man.
That's it.
Yeah, right.
She called Gold Green.
Humble Pie, 30 Days in the Hole. Thank you. Thank you very much, Ron and Raleigh. Thank you very kindly indeed. Thorn in the Side Thursday on the Horn at 8 minutes past the hour. Let's run over to the Skype line and see who we've got down Dallas way. Hello?
Hello, this is Edward.
I suspected it might be Edward. How in the world are you?
I'm pretty good. How's yourself?
I'm among the living.
Well, great. Well, I had a little article from the Wall Street Journal, July 2nd, had something rather interesting in it I thought you all might like to hear.
Absolutely.
It says, keep in mind why gay couples were historically afraid to stand up for their right to marry. Before 1962, sodomy was a felony in every state, punishable by imprisonment or hard labor. I was illegal when I was born back in the 30s.
I'll be darned. That's
how about that?
That's a heck of a thing to have to live through all those years.
Ain't that the truth? Yeah, I'd already graduated college and was teaching school in 1962.
and violating God's law all the time.
Oh, yes. Joyously, I must say. Joyfully. Joyously and joyfully.
Both, absolutely. Both.
Yeah. Well, that's about all I had to say. I just wanted to call and give you my little 2 cents worth.
So, well, I'm very, very glad that you did. And for the love of God, Edward, stay out of Round County, Kentucky.
Oh, don't worry. The last time I was in Kentucky, I spent the night in Paducah. But it was rather pleasant, I must say.
Well, it gets less so in Kentucky the further east you go.
Oh, well, I figured it did. A friend of mine worked for General Motors. He was an account for him, and he closed a lot of dealerships. And he'd just been to eastern Kentucky. He came back and he said, "You know what you say to guys to compliment them in Kentucky, eastern Kentucky?" I said, "No." He said, "You look at them and say, nice tooth."
Oh, that's cold.
I know. That's what I told him. I said, "That's not funny, Donald."
and it's even less funny when you go knock on the door and some little kid comes out hollering, "Uncle Daddy!" Oh, yeah, I'm going to hell for that one. But, you know, there's going to be awful good company down there.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yes, I'm sure. I'm looking forward to going. Except I don't believe in it, so There he goes.
Yeah, you know, not believing in hell really does take a lot of the starch out of hell.
I know. Hell in the same way.
Yeah, I know. Edward, it's so very good to hear. It is so very good to hear from you. I hope you have a lovely evening, and I hope things have been going swimmingly.
Well, thank you very much, and when I'm gone, I'll just float around in the ether, I guess.
Well, that's what happens when you get into the ether. You tend to float around a little bit.
Mm-hmm. If it has some Tanqueray gin in it, it'd be especially good.
Well, all God's children said amen. Although I can occasionally be persuaded to partake of the Bombay when the Tanqueray is not available.
Oh, me too.
Oh, good. I'm glad that doesn't relegate me to the land of the heretics.
Yeah. Well, you all take care.
All right. You too, Edward. Bye now.
Bye.
Our buddy Edward in Dallas. And let's run over to the stress line and see who we got. Hey, welcome to the program.
Hello?
Hello?
Hi, can you hear me?
I do indeed.
Yeah, okay, yeah. Well, first of all, my name is Greg.
Hi, Greg.
I'm from San Antonio, Texas.
Uh-huh.
And was this the line that people were talking about, that they're having issues hearing you?
Yeah, apparently so.
Okay, yeah. It sounds like a... best way to describe it, like hearing somebody on a CB radio. I'm sorry.
It's okay. I didn't make the unit, so.
I've been listening to you for a long time. I'm a long time listener, first time caller.
Yay! Wait a minute, first time caller. You get cowbell for that, Greg.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it. I've been listening to you for a long time. I've donated, and I really like Sandra and the Angry Indian, and just wanted to say hi.
Well, I am very glad you did.
Thank you. And I've been listening for a while, a long time, and every now and again, my son would listen and hear, and he really likes it. You know, when you you have your saying with the echo. The greatest country on earth now, today, and forever. Yeah. So you really love that. And,
well, that's only because America is.
Yeah. And I'm sorry to go off track or that's another subject, but I just wanted to say hi. But yeah, he's listening, and he's actually more involved than I am. He's in the chat room, and sorry I'm calling him out, though, but you called his name out a couple days ago, called the Irritated Dragon.
Oh, that's the Irritated Dragon. Wonderful. So cool.
Yeah, he really loves the program. He's a devout follower. So am I. it's a great program. I like it. And it feels like a family in a way. You know, when people call in and talk. And stuff like
it's that. It has become like that. I mean, I don't necessarily know that that's where we were headed when we started this more than 10 years ago, but it has certainly evolved in that direction. And it's okay if it's evolved in that direction, because we're okay with evolution here, right?
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, it's a unique program, and it's a, you know, listener-supported radio, so it's great. I guess a little about myself, I used to truck drive. I actually working for a trucking company, but I started listening to talk radio and started getting involved when back in the early 2000s when George Dim Leader said we needed to go to war in Iraq, and I woke up and started listening and started paying attention to things, and we were already in Iraq with Clinton with the no fly zones
exactly,
and it just took off from there, and I started getting involved. I started believing in the politics, and soon, quickly woke up to, I just tried to support Democratic Party and whatnot here and where I live, and it's like, hey, let's all work together, and I just don't see it, and so I've been, disillusioned, I guess is the word. I don't know.
Yeah, that's probably good. By the way, Texas T, also in the chat room, said, damn, two effing liberals in San Antonio. Who would have thunk? So
I find myself more towards the socialist side, or like Bernie Sanders, I always tell people that, hey, let's just go back to, the way things were FDR had, but, there's, FDR was more known for, you know, his quote was for saving capitalism. So, you know, I don't know how to take that, maybe with a grain of salt, but.
Well, I think he saved a lot of his own class from getting those French Revolution-style free tumbrel rides, and they didn't even have the common decency to thank him for it.
Yeah,
but I mean, this may be worrisome. I mean, there's three lefties in San Antonio. For God's sakes, don't let Greg Abbott know about it.
Yeah, I know. There's more here. They just. And I try to tell people about this program because, you know, they get tired of hearing the, I guess, the Tom Hartman, Stephanie Millers, and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, it's not really, say, sell out, but I guess it would be. But, you know, I don't think Tom Hartman really sells out, but I like him. I listen to him. So.
Well, I mean, we're all, you know, everybody's got to do something different. That's one of my favorite scenes from Life of Brian, you know, Monty Python, where the naked Brian flings open the shutters and the crowd, the multitudes are there below him. And he says, listen, I've got one or two things to tell you. And the crowd chants back in unison, tell us both of them. And he says, first, you're all different. And the whole crowd says, yes, we're all different. And then one lone guy, and I think it's Eric Idle, says, I'm not. You know, that's kind of how it is here. I mean, there's progressive and there's liberal and socialist and so forth. But it's like you know, beating on the big stories of the day. I try to break away from that sometimes, simply because I figure most of the people listening to this program have already heard it dissected, bisected, neglected, injected, rejected, and disrespected about 17 different ways from Sunday, so let's go look at something else.
Right. And it's you get the same, you know, I know you don't want a Hillary bash or anything like that, but, you know, people down here, you know, who are Democrats, they just love Hillary, and they love the Clintons, and I scratch my head, and I'm like, why? You know, and I just, you know, I never really asked them, but I just ask it to myself, and...
Well, I don't think it's improper. I mean, if we're paying attention to the politics of these sorts of things, Greg, I don't think it's improper for us to take a pretty hard look at the policies of the Clinton era and ask ourselves, you know, it's like the little rubber bracelets, WWLD, what would liberals do? Because, you know, would liberals screw over the poor with the so-called welfare reform? Would liberals have repealed Glass-Steagall? Would liberals have consolidated corporate media in the United States in the hands of the right wing? The answer is no, no, and no. And so, therefore, you kind of got to come away from it going, I don't think Bill was the liberal that the Republicans are saying he was. And to me, this proves that the right wing is actually a gang of fascist thugs who want full-on fascism in the United States. Because even center-right republicanism, such as Bill Clinton actually espoused, ain't republican enough for them.
Right. And you say it all the time, you know, if Reagan was around, he would have been kicked out of the party a long time ago. You know, it's weird how they're going down this path, and, you know, I see it, history is repeating itself, and it's shocking. And I don't understand. It's frustrating though, but I just don't understand some of the people. I guess it's what Bill Hicks would say. You know, it's
peace be upon him. So, peace be upon him. We have to say that
exactly. And it's a ride. It goes up and down. It goes around, and you know, but there's people there that say, "Hey, it's just a ride." But we've killed those people. So,
yeah, right. Exactly.
You know, it's frustrating, but I've been wanting to call you for a long time, and I just, you know, I've always been kind of nervous too, and I finally built up the courage to call.
And look, you've survived for several minutes on end.
Yes, you know, we have a lot of we have things in common. So I tried calling into the Tom Hartman program, and I was just one time a couple years back, and I was just so nervous. It's not so bad. So, and
Well, I like to think that we here are kind of a nice starting place for sort of getting into the rhythm and the nature of the process. So, you know, you can start here, and the next thing you know, you will not be on the Excellence in Broadcasting Network hollering mega dittos from Busted Knuckle or even San Antonio. I'm pretty sure of it.
Right. Yeah. It was fun. I like it. And, say hi to my son. And I won't give out his name. Just say, Irritated Dragon. And we'll leave it at that.
Absolutely. Hallelujah and howdy to the Irritated Dragon, who is right there in the chat room. I see him now.
He's a kid. He's looking forward towards college. So, you know, he's starting off young. And I'll leave it at that. I love him.
I absolutely understandable. What a proud papa. You do him proud, and he does you proud as well.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate that. Thank you. And I will be contributing in the future. And I'll just, you know, just like everybody else, everybody's in, you know, tight spots nowadays.
Oh, yeah. Everybody's beat up, and that's why we talk about, you know, dollar at a time, $5 at a time. It's how we make it happen.
Exactly. So, thank you, Bob. I appreciate it. It's been wonderful.
Well, Greg, it has been a real pleasure, and maybe we'll hear from your fine young son soon.
I hope so. I hope he builds up the courage, too. We'll see.
Well, now that he's seen that the dear old dad can do it, who knows what's next.
Yes.
All right. Well, Greg, you take care and have a good evening. And thanks for getting all brave and making the call.
Thank you. Thank you for your time. And you have a wonderful night.
You as well. Take care. Bye now.
All right. Bye.
Calling from the wilds of San Antonio, Texas, for the very first time, that's Greg, proud papa of Irritated Dragon in the Horn chat room. It is a community. Isn't that neat? Isn't that just neat? Let's run on and keep going over to the Skype line, based on the area code. I suspect, is it possible that this is our buddy, John, the over the road truck driver? Is that you, John?
Yeah. Of course, now if you got another guy living in Nevada, you might have to.
Well, all I can do is guess at the area code. You know, if we had 5 million listeners like the oxymoron does, I think I'd probably be wrong once in a while.
Well, no, you'd have to have a nice little computer program doing it, like a phone answering service. But I felt like taking a moment and chasing a wild rabbit. You ready to run with me?
Hot diggity, I love rabbit running.
Randy Davis for Congress.
I can live with
what do
that.
You think?
I can live with that.
You think that's
who would she run against?
Well, I'm just thinking, you know, she's an elected official. I see on the feeds now that Kentucky has announced that they're going to start issuing licenses without her. But as an elected official, you know, I can just see it coming right now. Stand up for family values. Vote for Ken Davis. Sorry, I think I said Wendy.
Oh, yeah, you said Wendy, and I was like, yeah, okay, Texas. No. Kim Davis.
You've got a plane for it, but.
She's already, I mean, she knows what campaigning's about. She had to run for election as the Round County Clerk. I don't even know what district that is in Kentucky, Stan. But it would probably mean unseating a Republican.
Oh, well, now you know how they are. You know, if the one that's there isn't jeebusy enough, she's getting some bona fides now because she's going to jail for jeebus.
Oh, that's true. She has been persecuted for his name's sake.
That's some heavy water to be tossing around there. And granted, and I'm not saying this to be disparaging the woman, she's going to take a little bit of spackling to pretty her up a little bit, and maybe a barber. Or a hairdresser, I guess that they call it nowadays.
Or a weed eater. Man, we're just mean.
I tell you, I felt a momentary dose of soul pulling there. Going to hell.
Is that brimstone? Yeah, that's definitely brimstone.
That's brimstone I'm smelling. But it just occurred to me, I just wouldn't surprise me one damn bit, because you know, this has been pushing on now for a few weeks, and that wouldn't surprise me if somebody's been kind of whispering your ear now. You know, today you're a clerk in a county, and tomorrow, you know.
Yeah, Ahoy to Round County, Morgan DeVeld.
Mm-hmm. You know, the Kentucky version of Machiavelli. With a corncob pipe and an attitude.
Macaroni-a-velli? You bet.
Yeah. But yeah, and I got kind of curious and a little bit, I felt kind of bad for you about your adventures yesterday.
You know, so, I mean, these things happen. Oddly enough, I've had a lot of really great input, sort of warning me off the guy and suggesting that the way they did was not exactly a good way for a good way to, you know, deal with somebody, you know, diabetic or borderline like me. Yeah.
Well, I'll give you one just to kind of make you feel a little better. I got some of the same, although I won't conflate myself with you, but I got some of the same. I'm a type 2 diabetic, you know, driving a truck, taking, you know, medication, all that mess. And I went on my last physical. They took some blood for some blood tests. Okay, no big deal. So they call me up a few days later. I'm on the road, and they say, "Oh my, so we got your thyroid's all messed up.
It's oh, not working. Great.
We need to get you on some medication." I'm like, "Okay, fine. They'll give me a script." So they gave me the script, and they called it on the phone. But because of the fact that I'm a trucker, I tend to do like once every 6 months, come in, get my, you know, renew my prescriptions and do a spot check and what have you. And they said, "Well, okay, we'll give you a script for 60 days, blah, blah, blah." And I said, "Well, here's the problem." I said, "I may not be able to get back in there because being over the road, I don't have as much control over where I go as most people. And it's hard for me to project out more than, you know, 24, 48 hours where I'm at and where I'm going." She says, "Oh, no problem, no problem. Call in, we'll read you the script." I'm like, "Okay, that sounds fine." So 2 weeks ago, I call in. I say, "Hey, I've run out of this here, this micro, tiny, itsy-bitsy little fly speck of a pill you got me taking for my thyroid. I need to read the script." "Oh, we can't do that." "Oh, wait a minute now, you just...
You can't? Why?"
"Like, you said this is supposed to be, you know, you said you're concerned I have to have this. Now you don't. Well, you need to come in and get us, you know, we need to get another office visit." And I'm like, "Okay. We want to see how the medication's done." I said, "Well, by the time I get in, I'm going to be out. So what you're going to be testing is my non-medicated state, so it's not going to be any good." "Well, that's true." And so I go, "Well, so let's say you re-up the script, and then when I come in, I'll be on it." "Oh, we can't do that. We need to get you in the office." And I'm like, "So let me get this straight. My thyroid's messed up, according to you people, and supposed to be real bad for my health, but you don't want to renew the script unless I come in and give you some more money." "Well, you know, we need to see how it's working on you." I said, "But you're talking in circles." And so I filed an official complaint with the medical board of that particular state. And because I said, "Now, if you want to convince somebody that they have to have a certain medication for their health and then you withhold it, then I only have one, there's only one definition of what you are, and that's a damn drug dealer."
Feels a little, well, you know, I felt very much, and I've been pretty clear and consistent, I think, in my opinions over the years, that there are certain places, John, where capitalism ought not be in play.
I totally agree.
Yeah, clean drinking water, for instance, that doesn't need to be subject to the profit motive. That should be a matter of the people taking care of the commons, and by extension of themselves. And nobody needs to be able to get rich off that. And I kind of extend that to medicine as well. And what I experienced yesterday was nothing but capitalism. Okay.
Yeah.
The only reason that dude double booked two hospitals was because he wanted to make more money. You know, if somebody was a no show, then he had somebody that he could slide into that slot, and bang, money. and which reduces which reduces patients to nothing more than meat-based money delivery vehicles.
Yeah,
and that's offensive.
Well, see, when I first got diabetes, and of course, being a trucker, I have to maintain it. Was mine, unfortunately, is type 2, so it's not as my problem is too much sugar, not enough sugar. So it's easier to control in many ways.
Well, I mean, mine is too much as well, but I'm borderline enough that if I'm not eating regularly, the medicine will have worked too well, and I'll wind up sweating and shaking.
Yeah. Well, I said that when I first got it, the first doctors I had, hell, as long as I had no complaints and when I was checking my, checking my sugar and shit, and all stayed relatively good, then I could call in. And whenever my script ran out, he basically said, come see me once a year. We'll keep tabs on you. Okay, cool. But now they've got it so, and they say it's because of some new regulations or some other mess, which in so many cases is new regulations sponsored by the very industry that's being regulated to make more money. And they say, oh, well, it's just regulation. So now they won't, no, you have to come in for office visits, and we got to do this and that, something else. And I'm like, I've been on this stuff now for 7 or 8 years, and for the first 3.5, 4 years, I call in, hey, no problem. Where are you at? Walmart, here. We'll give them a call. But now it's turned into a damn factory where, every time you turn around, oh, we got to come see us. And then when you go see him, and this is what really gets me, the guy sits in his desk, he's turned about half sideways, and he's spending more time typing on his computer and looks at you, asks a few questions, and then he says, oh, thanks for the visit. Closes up, here's your script, and he goes out the door, and I'm like, what the hell?
Hey, my wallet feels lighter, but I don't feel like anything just happened.
Yeah. I mean, it's like a total waste, and I'm like, God, are the lawsuits and the malpractice so damn bad? These guys got to cover themselves 40 ways over Sunday or what? But anyway, I thought about that.
I would love to know some of the economics of how, for instance, the Canadian system works. Because I haven't seen anything out there in the wide world of news, John, that says that doctors in Canada are living on rice and beans and begging in the streets. I think it's still a pretty lucrative profession, even if you're up there, living among the commie Canadians who are just sitting around in doctor's offices sucking up health care for the fun of it.
Well, part of the problem, Bob, is it starts with the education. If you go, I don't know so much about Canada, but I know I have a friend of mine that lives in England, and I think it's England and Sweden and stuff like that. Because they have so much public education there, you can literally go and become a doctor with no real money out of pocket. So you don't have to charge staggering sums of money for your practice to pay back your student loans. And so the threshold for the money is a lot lower. And besides, in England, for instance, doctors are on salary. Salary is really nice. It's much better than most workers get. But they're on a graduated salary depending on their specialty and other factors. They make a nice living. They're not rich. They're rich by maybe British standards, but they're not. It's not like they're rolling in it. And then once American doctors pay off their freaking loans, if they get them all paid off, they're still charging the same amount of money, even though they paid off their loans, and now they're pocketing all the money. And so it is, if you're able to put the time in, get your loans paid off and everything, being a doctor is a lucrative-ass profession. But you got to get past that first paying off those loans and stuff. So, I mean, you're supporting a freaking, Harvard Medical School isn't sitting on a $45 billion endowment for nothing. These things it all feeds on itself. It's ridiculous.
Well, it is, and there's not nearly enough information passed along, John, to help patients be informed and do a good job with you know, and I know this sounds like double speak or weasel speak, with partnering in their own care.
Oh, yeah. I go on a website right now, just if you would pull up, and you've probably done this before yourself. If you would just Google in what's normal blood sugar, you go to four or five different sites, and they're all going to be 20, 30, 40 points different.
And that was one of the interesting things I got out of the office visit with this guy. He says, lab values mean nothing.
Mm-hmm.
That's a quote.
Yeah. When they told me.
And I'm one of these empirical data guys, and when I hear lab values mean nothing, I get to think, what?
Yeah, and especially when it's charging $90, $100 for the damn lab.
Oh, by the way, we have an update on the Kim Davis for Congress issue that you raised. Not a prayer. Not a prayer. Because Kim Davis, Sister Clerk Kim, is represented by good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered, evangelical, fundamentalist, friend of Cole, been there since God was a baby, Hal Rogers.
Oh, okay, well then. Then I guess maybe she is screwed. But,
oh, but that know? Doesn't that doesn't mean they can't run her for county commission. It doesn't mean that they can't run her. Why not? You know that that doesn't exclude her from being run for say the Kentucky Stand Legislature.
Oh yeah, or
because there's no getting around it. She's gonna be a persecuted celebrity.
Oh, I guarantee you there's a book deal and it probably already in the fucking works.
Well, and that's part of the graft. I mean, what mm-hmm. I see her as going down the Sarah Palin trail.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can see it now. If, you know, if the judge really wanted to put the clamps on her, he'd have thrown her ass in jail.
He did.
And then turn right around. Well, I know that. But then make damn sure that he makes it so that she can't profit from her crimes. I know in some cases, there's a lot of crimes you can't do that. But something this small or this controversial, I'm not sure they can.
Well, technically, this is not criminal. This
yeah.
is this is contempt. And so it's
yeah.
not like she has to be charged with a or arraigned or anything. She and that's what it means in legal terminology when it is said that she holds the keys to her own cell. She has not been imprisoned by the judge. She has imprisoned herself by her refusal to live within the system of laws that defines this country. And
yeah,
so the very instant that she decides that or someone explains to her and she becomes intelligent enough to understand that Jesus, her loving Jesus, is not going to gig her like a frog on the end of a pitchfork and chuck her into hell for signing a marriage license, the minute she comes to that conclusion and says, I'm ready to do my duty under the law that I swore an oath to do, she's out of jail. She's sitting there
yeah.
in that cell with a get-out-of-jail-free card on her forehead. And all she
yeah,
has to do is peel it off and hand it to the guard.
But I bet you I'm willing to bet that she's not going to do it for a while. Because this is gold to her, man.
The right. No, that's the thing. That's why I said it earlier, John. This is a long con.
Yep. It's crazy. You know, these sons of guns, they sit around here and they talk about the, you know, worshiping the founding fathers and Constitution and, you know, Dr. Bill, of course, goes through this all the time. And yet, it's amazing how selective these buggers can get. Oh, well, you know, what part of shall not be infringed Second Amendment? Oh, but wait a minute, now, I got to follow the Constitution, the supremacy of the federal government over, oh, no, that's old, no, that doesn't work. Hypocritical bastards. Anywho, I'll let you go.
Well, I do appreciate your call, and I hope you keep things all sorted out with your thyroid. That's nothing to fool around with.
Well, as soon as I'm gonna try to get my hands on another doctor and see what's actually going on, because, like I said, I don't trust this son of a bitch anymore. Because
to be fair, though, I mean, because I've got somebody in my family who deals with thyroid issues, and those medications can screw with you in a large way. And well, they keep and they keep a pretty close eye on the lab values to make sure that because your thyroid going sideways can wind up making you real dead.
Well, I understand that, but I would imagine that if they were willing to give me the script to start with, then, you know, it would have been safer to go ahead and leave me on the script until they got the second test done than to just leave me off of it. That's at least my layman's version of things. You know, the sense I got was that they wanted me in the office, even though, see, the part that bothers me is he's telling me he wants me to come back in the office to test to see what the thyroid medication is doing. But as I explained to him, I wouldn't be back there until I'm long since off of it. Because it, you know, stuff wears off, you know, the effects wear off in a couple of days. And so it would be like starting over again. So the logic is, if he wanted to see how the medication was doing, then I would need to be on the medication when I walked into the office. But he doesn't want to redo the script because he's arguing that, well, I need to see what it's doing. I'm saying, how can you see what it's doing when I'm not on it? But, you know,
that also has to do with the half-life of the medication and how long it remains in your system.
Yeah. So a lot of this may just be, you know, he's being extra cautious and I'm being extra mean. But, you know, if I'm spending money on this stuff, then, you know, a little, you know, he knows what kind of patient I was when I walked in the door and should have known better. But that's me being mean. So that's just how it is. Anywho, I'll let you go. Catch you.
All right. See you, John. Take care. Bye now. And that frees up line one, 304-574-8178. Thank you. Thank you very kindly, John, for your call. I'm heading right over to the stress line in just a minute here. Just a couple of quick updates. One, I am informed. Thank you, Carol. I am informed that former liquor supply officer Marion Robertson has remarked that the gays won't be happy till we're all in jail. And as Carol notes, I'm not gay. And that would make me happy. And I'm mean, however, and I add a caveat to that I, you know, I'd be happier with him not in jail, but just, well, heaven is, for these Christians, heaven is such a wonderful place. Why aren't they in a hurry to get there? I mean, you've been hanging around for a while, Marion. You've had your 3 score and 10. Ain't it time to go see your loving Savior? Or are you a little worried that maybe with the Sea of Galilee mud mask and Jesus land that you tried to build over in Israel and all and the milkshakes and the protein powders and the investments in the blood diamonds and are you worried that maybe you're gonna get the frog gigging, you know, kicked down into the barbecue pit treatment too? Are you, Marion? Are you? Yeah. And also, before we run over to the phone lines, or the phone line, one conversation at a time, a note from Michael in Madison. And no, it's not. No, it is not. Subject line: Pick on Tom Hartman Day. It is not Pick on Tom Hartman Day. It is Thorn in the Side Thursday. Damn it. Quit reformatting the show. Hey, Bob, says Michael. Hey, Michael. As long as we're doing Pick on Tom Hartman Day, I thought I'd add this standard disclaimer. I generally enjoy listening to Hartman, and in theory, I understand why he has wing nuts on. Nonetheless, it gets tiresome after a while. Blah, blah, blah. But yesterday, I heard a guest drop a turd on his show so big, I nearly chucked my radio across the room. Tom didn't challenge it, or even acknowledge it. Well, at least he didn't call him a national treasure like he did with Phyllis Schlafly, but never mind. Professor Stephen Cohen, Tom's semi-regular Russian expert and resident Putin apologist, Obama foreign policy critic, let this deuce loose. Whatever you think of Kissinger, he is our own, and Michael bolded this part, he is our only great living elder statesman. Emphasis mine, Michael says. I wrote that one down immediately. It was all I could do not to run around the office screaming. Teetering on the precipice of sanity, in Madison, Michael.
Yeah, how do you let that one just blow by?
Oh, you mean Henry the war criminal? You mean Henry the genocidalist? You mean Henry the guy who can't leave the United States because there's hardly a country in the rest of the world that doesn't have a reason to arrest his sorry murderous ass? That Henry? Henry who sat and made no comment when Richard Nixon was liquored up in the Oval Office? Henry, I think we could probably solve these problems, but it's the Jews, Henry, it's the Jews. Jawohl, man, Mr. President, jawohl.
That Henry? Yep, that Henry.
Hey. And a bit of an announcement here in a couple of minutes, and I hope people will avail themselves of this. You got a little time this weekend? Are you doing anything? Would you like to go somewhere really cool and fun? We have an opportunity here. And as soon as I've talked with Jim, who is not in Louisiana, Stan, I'll tell you more about it. Hey, Jim.
What's up, Bob?
How in the world are you?
I'm doing great. I got my apartment. I was staying with a friend, but that gets real. Sleeping on the couch is, you know, kind of a drag. And, he's got his personal picadillos. I got mine. And then he's not a big fan of talk radio. Although he's a liberal. It's funny. Yeah, he's just a music dude. So, after a week or so, I'm just like, dude, I got my own little place. Listen to you. You got the internet. Got that stuff straightened out.
I want to add something. The clarity of your call is dramatically better this evening. I don't know what you're doing out there in Vegas with it, but it's awesome.
Well, some of it's legal, some of it's not. That's just a joke. But maybe it's the pale ale I'm drinking right now that might be helping.
No. I actually think it's technology.
Might be. And I've been trying to catch up on your shows because I couldn't really catch your shows when I was over there. Because even though, like I said, even though he's kind of a liberal, he's got he's just a music dude, Plus, I tell you, sleeping on the couch, I don't know. It's once you get over that half century mark, the sleeping on the couch stuff just doesn't work.
No. It does. I mean, that's kind of like the activism stuff. People who have done the mountaintop removal work can tell you that, 10 years ago they were going anywhere and talking to anybody and sleeping on floors. And, mm-hmm. and you know, still will. But it gets old pretty quick.
Yeah. But, man, your shit's been on fire. I've been catching it, what's her name's in jail, right?
Sister Clark Davis. Yes, she is. She is cooling her heels.
Maybe she'll rediscover Jesus,
Well, no, because if Jesus appears to her in a vision or actually walks through the bars of the door of the jail cell and says, "It's okay, I love gay people too." And it's okay to sign their marriage license, Kim. She's going to swear up and down that that's Satan. And he'll say, no, it's me, Jesus, Kim. Get thee behind me, Satan. That's what my Jesus said. Get thee behind me, Satan, and don't issue no marriage licenses to them homos. And he's going to say, no, I love them. I really do. I love them too. And I think it's happy. It's wonderful if they're in warm and loving, stable relationships. My Jesus wouldn't say that because my Jesus hates everybody I hate.
I love the way the human defines what the all-powerful deity knows. I love that. That's so great. Yeah, it's so funny. But it's the great thing is I'm listening. I caught you live a little bit yesterday. I didn't wasn't able to call in. It was a pardon my French, a godsend when I finally got my, because I'm not, I'm on, what do you call it, the old technology, TSL, I guess, and it took, they came and hooked it up, and I kind of procrastinate. The weird thing about when you move to a new place, at least for me, being a, pretty much a bachelor all my life, and us men, us guys, we can find ways to put things off and stuff, you know?
Sure.
Yeah.
I've been there.
And then the women, one thing they're good at is like, why don't you do that? Why don't you do that? Why don't you? And it really gets on your nerves. But they're right, usually. Usually.
Well, it's all about civilized living.
Yeah, well, it's kind of like, I think you were talking earlier, maybe I'm flashing back to a show you were talking about. I was listening to a replay the other night because I'm trying to catch up. Because I got to keep up my Bobosity. You know, when you go back to the hunter gatherers and stuff, and as we got out of the caves and moved on and stuff, and the changes in society and technology that brought, it's inner working between the two sexes and stuff. You know, it's not just one sex dominating the other. And that's where, on one level, that's where the religious fundamentalists, women obey your husband, i.e. your master. Just kind of blows me away. That's so first century. Third or fourth century, I guess, because it was the fourth century when.
Well, no, I mean that is that Galatians or Ephesians or flip floppians. Actually, that stuff was written first century. You're absolutely right. Most of that stuff is before the first gospel was even committed to writing.
Right. Well, I mean, it's just like the Bible and the Quran. Everything, the quote-unquote Savior, I'm becoming more and more a believer that the character Jesus is just a figment, a conglomeration of characters put together, you know. And just like a lot of, there was something I heard the other day, I think it was on your show, about something about Muhammad, something Muhammad had written, or not written, I don't know, was proclaimed to say, but actually it dates back before he was even, right before he was born, or shortly before he was born, and there's like really no way he could have done that except if he was an adolescent, you know. So was that your show or another show?
That might be somebody else.
I'm still a big Bernie supporter, and I'm not going to give up. I will go.
Well, yeah, I'm not going anywhere. I'm not going anywhere as far as Bernie. You know, if Bernie quits, I'll quit. But I'm supporting him as long as he's in this race.
Oh yeah, well, I'm still throwing $10 a month. I'm going to go ahead and see how I can volunteer and help out, and maybe get a really sweet position in his office once he's.
I'm sure there'll be a job for you, Jim. Me too.
Yeah.
And we'll all just get a check. We're all going to get us a Squidbillies money check.
And you know what? One more thing. It is such a sad state of affairs in this country that I really, with Obama, first time I thought there was hope and change, and he actually did do some pretty good things that I may be repeating myself, but, that free trade deal he made, and I'm not too happy about it at all, because that free trade always seems to screw us, Do you know if there's any way we can, he can kind of pseudo-renege on it, you know what I mean, without really reneging on it? Because basically, once I understand, once you make a deal, it's a deal. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, I do. And to be honest, I don't know the answer. With the Iran agreement, one of the reasons that it's being handled the way it is because Barack Obama knew that if it was handled as a treaty, it would never get through the Senate. Because I mean, if we had a treaty saying that we agreed with the rest of the world that all little babies should have adequate food, clothing, and shelter, the Republican Senate would trash it and declare that it was Kenyan Muslim socialism. So instead, this doesn't come to the Senate or the, because constitutionally the Senate has the job of ratifying treaties. The president negotiates them, the Senate ratifies them. But it's not being handled as a treaty, and so therefore the Republicans in the Senate get to pound sand.
All right, let me ask you this. Let's assume Bernie gets the nomination. Are you keeping you a little bit more politically astute in this area, assume, than I am? Are there any other pseudo-democratic socialists running or people? Or do you think they'll just follow the guy with the flag
if he wins? I think if you want to talk about the practical impacts of politics, I think Jill Stein is probably has every bit the socialist street cred that Bernie does. And there are a certain number of people in the I Want a Pony wing of the progressive universe who will run out and vote for Jill Stein because they'll say, voting for the lesser of two evils is still evil. Meh. When all that displays is a fundamental lack of understanding of our constitutional system of governance.
Plus a little bit more than that. It's good to be listening to you live on the radio again. I still got a couple of shows I got to catch up on. I'm going to clear the lines and let somebody else get through. And I guess I have another Sierra Nevada beer.
Ooh, what kind?
This was pale ale. I got the mixed pack, the party, the autumn.
Well, I was over. There's a chain of convenience stores, and I'm sure they're horribly corporate and do awful things. But as convenience stores go, they're awfully convenient. There's a chain that's in Ohio and Pennsylvania, and I think Kentucky and West Virginia, maybe Maryland, and they're called Sheetz, Sheetz. This is, of course, an unpaid advertisement. And they've got tolerable coffees, and you can actually get it. But anyway, I was in my local one the other day, and I noticed that they had, and I had it on tap at Secret Sandwich Society, they had the Sierra Nevada Oktoberfest.
Oh, wow.
And if you happen to see the Sierra Nevada Oktoberfest, Jim, I can say only this. I highly recommend it.
Oh, definitely. And I'll tell you another thing, man. I kind of get it the weather's getting really nice. I mean, it's still 100-something, but it's a cool 100 right now. It's a dry 100, but it's a cool 100.
Yeah, it's the dry 100. I mean, I remember my one time in Vegas. I'm notorious for the fact that, pasty-faced, white, doughy, Northern European genetic extraction guy that I am. I sweat, and it was the weirdest thing in the world to me, because standing out there in 114 degrees in Vegas, I'd go and put a few drops of sweat out at my brow line, and then gone.
I know exactly what you're talking about, where you literally feel the moisture from your eyes being sucked up by the sun. Am I right?
Yeah, it's just gone. I mean, the absence of humidity, it just. And I don't know. Maybe it'll fall as rain somewhere. It's one of those mysteries of the mysteries of life on Earth.
Okay. Well, here's a quick selection I have. I have a Vienna, or what is it? website. Which one do you suggest?
The first one.
Yeah. All right. I'm going to hang up, let somebody else get through. I'm in my bachelor pad weekly. Oh, by the way, I'm paying about, 150% less rent than I was in Colorado.
That's because you don't have legal weed in Vegas.
Well, not yet, but we'll see what happens.
Although I noticed, I did notice, and if it passes, you've got another place to consider, Jim. If it passes, apparently the Commonwealth of Massachusetts is going to have have ballot questions about the legality of cannabis.
I think between you and me and your 500,000 or 600,000 million listeners, whatever.
Yeah. The known universe, let's just put it that way, yes.
Okay, I think it's coming. Yeah, it's like the Rolling Stones line, here it comes, your 19th nervous breakdown. It's and just all the evidence that's finally coming out because they're able to do research on it, it's a joke. And then, like you pointed out to me a week and a half, 2 weeks ago, about the difference between marijuana and if you're doing coke, coke's out of your system in a couple of days. Marijuana stays in your system because it's cannabinoid or whatever the scientific reason is. Stays in your system. So you smoke a joint 2 weeks ago.
It's still there.
But if you just spend a week weekend freebasing, and it's the end of the week, you probably won't test positive, right?
Right.
Is that,
yeah. But if you honk up a number at some concert 3 weeks ago, it's gonna be in your it'll be in your urine for 28 days, if I understand correctly, and in your hair even longer. I mean, I probably have hairs that could still get me busted for things that I did in college. No, wait, they fell out. I'm going bald, so I don't have to worry about that anymore. Cool, we're good.
Yeah, but you look good bald, and you shave on a barber. You look on the bright side.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know,
right.
Yeah, I don't know, you may have to, depending on where you are, you may have to shave your head, Jim, I'm just saying. But, you know, the other side of it is where legalization is concerned, I can tell you precisely when West Virginia will legalize cannabis.
49th, 50th?
No, as soon as Pennsylvania, Ohio, Kentucky, Maryland, and Virginia have all legalized it and are all profiting by it. And we're sitting here saying, you know, coke keeps the lights on. Then we'll find, and when there's no novelty to it all, you know, we'll legalize it. I mean, we're first that way. Alcohol prohibition didn't come to the whole nation until 1919. But by God, West Virginia enacted prohibition statewide in 1913.
Well, that's another reason I left Louisiana, Stan. I just, that ass backwardsness of the South.
Yeah, but you know, you can walk in and get a margarita slushy, on Canal Street and just go toddling right around town like you're somebody, and nobody will mess with you until you start stumbling. I mean, I hate to say it, but y'all are kind of ahead of us here.
What are you holding my police record in?
Well, I mean, I only took a peep, Jim. I mean,
I'm just joking.
There he was with his margarita slushy with the extra test tube shot when we found him. When we found him down on Chart Street.
That's it, Chartist.
Chartist. Yeah, right. I forget. That's your Acadian.
That's my
Acadian Cajun French. Right, Chartist. Chartres.
Yeah.
Got it.
All right,
we'll see you,
have
Jim.
A good one.
Stay cool, man. Stay cool. We'll see you later.
All right.
Bye. Our buddy Jim, formerly of Louisiana Stan, now of Nevada Stan. And so both lines are open here at 5 minutes past the hour as we move into the final hour of the program. 55 minutes of good conversation to remain to us. If you wish to participate, you know the numbers. The stress line, which Jim just cleared, 304-663-4676, 304-663-HORN, or the other line, 304-574-8178. Skype to Skype is, of course, Bob Kincaid Horn, BobKincaidHorn, from anywhere on the planet that doesn't have, like, some sort of internet firewall up that keeps you from engaging in free-flowing, free-form, raucous, roiling, madcap conversation. And, yeah, that Sierra Nevada Oktoberfest is, what's the word I'm looking at? Yummy. All right, so I said a minute ago that we had something very interesting, depending on what kind of time you have this evening. On Sunday, September the 6th, this coming, 2015, NASCAR will be holding the annual Labor Day traditional Bojangles Southern 500 NASCAR race. And if you have never been to a NASCAR race, you don't know what you're missing. It's a rodeo, the circus, and all rolled into one, and it's really loud, and no progressive snobbery here. It's a hell of a lot of fun. It really, really is. So I have here, courtesy of Kath in Canada, for purposes of helping the horn raise a little dough and keep the lights on and the bills paid, at a value of about $216 a pair of tickets. And don't worry, we don't have to fool with the U.S. mail or anything. These are emailed tickets. They've got barcodes on them, and they're transferable. Okay. Kath was going to go, and they do, and they have a lot of fun, but it just didn't work out. This is Sunday, September the 6th, Darlington, North Carolina. The Bojangles Southern 500. And these two tickets are yours. All right? And I'm trying to figure out, Kath just let me know about this a few minutes ago. And she said, you know, sell them for whatever you can get for them, and for anybody that wants to go to the race, and just let the, you know, and like I said, it's a $216 value. And these are grandstand tickets. In the grandstand at the Tyler Tower. So you can see all the action and, you know, move freely, you know, in the grandstand area, because it can get a little too zany on the infield, as far as I'm concerned. But I've got the two printed home tickets, and I'm not going to hang a price on them, except to say that it would be a crying shame if these things went for anything less than retail. But if you can get, I mean, if you can get to Darlington for the race, these two tickets, and you need to send me an email first. Don't just go hit the PayPal button, because I want to make sure that you want to go and that you're going to be able to write. And we'll kind of, we're not going to make it first past the post. That would be very NASCAR of us, though, wouldn't it? By email, bobkincaid@gmail.com. Send me your bid. And we'll see. I mean, if three people write in right now, and one says 50, one says 75, and another one says $100 a ticket, so it would be 100, 150, and 200. The tickets will go to the person, you know, with the $200. But I'll leave this open. Like I said, the race is on Sunday. So depending on how near you are Darlington, you would probably need a day's travel time. So I'll leave this open until close of Friday on the front porch tomorrow, the fourth day of September. How's that? unless somebody just does something really wacky, and it's highly unlikely that anybody else will match the offer. Two tickets, Tyler Tower, Grandstand, Darlington, North Carolina, Bojangles Southern 500, and a good time will be had by both. So email me, bobkincaid@gmail.com, and we will put you in the grandstand courtesy of Kath from Canada. And thank you so very much, Kath. Kath approves the holding it open until the close of Friday on the front porch. Thank you. I'm glad that works. Oh, yeah, Sparky would love that, wouldn't he? I don't know. Maybe you could get it. Hey, Sparky, maybe you could get a quick, cheap pair of flights from Sacramento to Charlotte on Southwest. Southwest goes to Charlotte, don't they? Yeah. Darlington, South Carolina. I'm sorry. Darlington, South Carolina. Thank you, Sparky. Why did I say North Carolina? Uy. But yeah, Darlington, South Carolina. And we got a goodly number of members of the Horn Family Commune congregation there in South Carolina, Stan, who might enjoy this. But you know, it's in easy reach. I bet you could still fly into Charlotte, Sparky. I know you've seen NASCAR at Riverside, but this is NASCAR in the heart of NASCAR country. Hoo-wee, and oh my goodness, you could avail yourself of a couple of days of some fine barbecue eating. Mercy sakes alive. Maybe even somewhere along the way find yourself some boiled peanuts. Mm-mm-mm-mm-mm. That is really, really sweet of Kath to make that offer. God almighty, if I could, I'd bid on them. And just because, you know, Labor Day week, I said we'd be broadcasting on Monday, but you know, wow. Nah, somebody else will enjoy it. But it would be, okay. Let's see, there's a little bit of cultural immersion. Kath says of the Southern 500, it's all about the roasted turkey legs. Well, I could gnaw on one of them. Yeah. So there it is, two tickets to the Southern 500, the Bojangles Southern 500, courtesy of Kath from Canada. Going out, the bidding remaining open. Don't just send your bid to PayPal until I tell you that you've won. Do it by email. You know, you can also reach out to me on Messenger, on Facebook. Conceivably, you could do it on Twitter too, at Bob Kincaid. But let me know first, and maybe Twitter's not such a good idea because you don't necessarily just want to put that out there for the whole world to see or whatever and start a bidding war. But and I will. I'll put it out there on social media. Section G, row 4. Yeah, this is going to be fun. Whoever gets this is going to be having an absolute blast. So there you go. Just let me know. 14 minutes past the hour, 46 minutes remaining of conversation radio on this Thorn in the Side Thursday. And there is still an abundance of stuff to go into. I have the audio here because the goddess of irony wants us to hear it. Sister Clerk Davis went to jail today. But yesterday, there on a program called Crosstalk, of course. Matt Staver, who is the chief grifter behind Liberty Council, free lawyering for Jeebus, and it's all tax-free. Yeah. Matt Staver appeared on Crosstalk to so that all the good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing, Christ-centered Christians could understand just exactly what position Sister Clerk Davis occupies relative to her faith and the larger panoply of history. Oh, that's Wednesday. Sorry.
Why doesn't she just resign? Why hasn't she?
Well, here's the reason why. She's been a 27-year employee of this clerk's office. She was elected by the people of Rowan County. They want her there. They put her there. If they don't want her there, then they can remove her.
God almighty. He represents her and been representing her, and he still doesn't figure it, doesn't know how to pronounce where she's from. Rowan. Rowan County.
There have been no efforts to remove her, and frankly, if there was, she'd probably be able to win the governor's seat right now rather than just a clerk of Rowan County. She has no aspirations for that, but she...
Oh, my goodness! The spirit has moved mightily upon John out somewhere in the great western parts of the United States of America. The greatest country in the world on earth now, today, forever! And so, and lo and behold, there they are, those little rumblings of political yumminess. She could probably be governor. I bet she could. I bet she'd be almost as good a governor as that half-term, half-wit governor was up in Alaskistan. Ew-wee! Uncle Jed!
She's there to do a duty, a job, and
he said duty.
Job duty was changed.
Job duty.
You know, throughout the history of the 27 years she was there, throughout the history of Kentucky, the history of America, the history of the world.
In other words, Mama hired her as a deputy clerk back when she was just a young grifter, and she's never actually had to hold a real damn job in all of her natural-born days. 27 years she's been a-working in that county clerk's office. It makes you wonder if she even... went up and studied at Morehead State. He really shouldn't say duty so much. Not in the midst of all this crap. Mm-mm, no. But wait, there's more. For God's sakes, I almost screwed up. Get the hockey puck!
No time was there ever a job duty for clerks to issue same-sex marriage licenses.
Now there's that. That's three duties. No, the clerk's duty has ever been to issue marriage licenses, not same-sex. You know what? They were making the same argument in Virginia back in the 60s. Not no time never here in the Old Dominion, which is deeply, deeply religiously faithful to the Lord Jesus Christ, has it ever been the duty of a clerk to issue a license for a Negro and a God-fearing white person to be a getting married up. It's a change in the job description. Jesus, what must it be like to actually have to be in the physical presence of this walking mound of excrescence, Matt Staver?
There was no such thing. So 2 months ago, all that changed. Now, should she just simply walk away from that?
Well, yeah. Or, no, possibly, she should just do her damn job, like, of all people, and you talk about wanting to go and just submerge yourself in a hot tub of bleach, like Dick and Liz Cheney done said. No, really. Dick Vader. Richard B. Big Time Dick Cheney before he dicks you. Went on one of those right-wing yakky-yak shows and said, no, it's the law of the land, and she just needs to do her damn job. Dick Cheney did. And Liz said, uh-huh, See, they're trying to prime her to be Dick's trying to. Well, you know, I guess she's sort of a if he's Dick Vader, then she's Padawan Liz, and he's trying to prime her up to because she doesn't run for Congress once. But no, Dick and that I think you know what I think it's probably a baby's heart that they implanted in his chest. It's yeah, I can feel it. It's growing. It is definitely growing inside. Oh my God, I can feel it growing now. I'm going to live for 1,000 years. Yeah. Now they're gonna get Liz some political office, or maybe she can be. Maybe she's vice presidential timber. Mm-hmm. Oh, she doesn't have to resign. She could just do her job. And you know what? And again, this is one of those great moments in Christianity because of the grace of Jesus Christ, which falleth like the quality of mercy is not strained. It falleth as the gentle rain upon the just and the unjust. She's part of a religion that says once saved, always saved. And she's sure enough saved. I mean, she done got saved 4 years ago. And it's still sticking. And so whatever she does wrong, all she has to do is say, "Dear sweet baby Jesus in the manger, I done signed a homosexual marriage license today. Can you forgive me?" And Jeebus up there says, "Well, hell yeah!" And she says, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord." And he says, "'Twarn't nothing. I loves him homosexuals." And she says, "Jesus!" But that's all there is to it. I mean, that's what made Christianity so appealing and so attractive from jump. He's just the forgivenest feller you'd ever want to meet. Jesus, I just burnt my neighbor's house down and I feel real terrible about it now. Can you forgive me? Sure can! And you're forgiven. And you got your seat there in heaven and your crown and your harp and your Lawrence Welk music. Sure! That's how it works. So she doesn't have to resign. She could just do her job that she swore an oath to Jesus that she would do. Because it's Kentucky, and we ain't going to have no oath and an affirming. We're going to swear to Jesus. "Jesus, I promise to be the best clerk Round County done ever had. I do, Jesus. I swear on your holy Bible." Wait, I got to sign a marriage license for a couple of homosexuals? I'm crossing my finger about that oath, Jesus. Is that all right?
"No, that is most assuredly not all right. I love you, and I love you a lot, but I'm not going to forgive that, and I'm going to have to throw you into the eternal fiery lakes of hell with all the homosexuals. Now, do you want that, or do you just want to issue the license?"
See how complicated it gets? But no, really, Jesus, I signed a homosexual wedding license just today. Can you forgive me, Jesus? You betcha. Because that's how it works. "Jesus, I stubbed my toe and said a really bad word. Can you forgive me?"
"No problem."
"Jesus, I was baptized when I was a little boy. But I started a war and I killed 6 million people. Can you forgive me?"
"I forgave you before you even did it."
"Really?"
"Absolutely."
Absolution. See how it works? It's nifty. "Jesus, I committed a genocide against 20 million indigenous people on a continent that we didn't even know existed. Is that okay, Jesus? I'm really sorry. Can you forgive me?"
"Consider it done." Hernan Cortez.
There you go. And she hasn't done none of that. What she actually needs the forgiving for within Christian doctrine is the crapping on other human beings. But that might be a dogmatic bridge too far for Sister Clark Davis. So no, Matt Staver, you pettifogging puke. She doesn't have to resign.
So 2 months ago, all that changed. Now, should she just simply walk away from that? Well, what's going to happen if she does? It's not just the clerk. It's every other position. Does that mean that if you're Christian, don't apply here? If you're a Jew, you got to get... What happened in Nazi Germany? What happened there first? They removed the Jews from government public employment. Then they stopped patronizing them in their private businesses.
Yeah, first they came for the Jews, and I said nothing because I was not a Jew, and then they came for the communists, and I said nothing because I was not a communist, and then they came for the trade unionists, and I was not a trade unionist, so I said nothing, and then they came for the upstanding, God fearing, Bible believing, Christ centered Christians, and because they wouldn't know. See. They didn't. This doesn't work.
And then they continued to stigmatize them. Then they were the problems. Then they killed them. I mean, the fact of the matter is, she has a right to this employment, and you don't lose your constitutional liberties just because you're employed by the government.
She's not employed by the government. She's employed by the people. You pettifogging dumbass. And she swore an oath. And I want to be clear about something here. If they ever start lining up the Christians to go off to the camps, I'll get in line with them. Because it'll be evil, and it'll be wrong. And frankly, it'll be the moral thing to do. But here's why I'm never going to have to live up to that vow. Because 80% of the people in this country call themselves Christian, and I don't think 20% of the people of this country can somehow figure out a way to put 80% of 330 million in death camps. Let's see, that'd be 24, 26. That's 264 million people. They're going to have to be guarded and murdered by 66 million people. I'm thinking you could probably overwhelm the guards under that circumstance. Yeah, stuff it, Kim Davis, you freak. Oh, by the way, speaking of. According to the International Business Times, there are some considerations taking place in Israel presently. A statement issued from the office of psychopath Benjamin Netanyahu announced that Bibi is pondering whether it might be a good idea to allow the IDF, the Israeli Defense Forces, to use live ammunition and simply start mowing down anybody who throws a rock. Mm-hmm. In a Reuters report, the statement is quoted as saying, "Since the justice system finds it difficult to deal with minors who throw rocks, changes to orders on opening fire towards stone and petrol bomb throwers will be examined." BB wants zero tolerance towards stone throwing and zero tolerance towards terror. And hey, Merca, if they decide to just start mowing folks down, guess who's paying for the bullets? Yeah, you. Isn't that cool? And speaking of intolerant bigots, hey, let's take a trip to Texas. Down Texas way, there's a former prison guard. And believe me when I explain to you that you are not half the man he is. Probably not a third. There's a former prison guard named Nathan Ener. I don't make this stuff up. And he's real upset. Of course he is. And we all know, or we will know, in short order, how he votes. You'll figure it out by his own words. Yes, Ener. Our buddy the Angry Indian says, Ener? Ener. E-N-E-R. Ener. You know, like out on the playground. You can't catch me. Ener, Ener, Ener. Right. Ener. And one of the marvels of the modern digital age, and you might think back to the lady in Indianapolis who was all upset about Muslim gay marriage and did that wonderful, delightful video with her cell phone where she constantly screamed, Islamic! Remember her? Yeah. Nathan Ener apparently figured out how to make the video function work on his cell phone. And he's got a remedy, because he's real upset about anybody who says that Black Lives Matter. Yeah, Angry, we got time. I'm about to roll the audio. Get the hockey puck. Get the duct tape. Go twice around with the duct tape. Okay? He figured out how to make the video thingy work on his phone, and he's explaining about how we're gonna keep people from getting kilted by these murderous black people. No, really. Strap in. Honest to God, get the hockey puck. This is evil. This is nasty. This is just vile. You ready? Yeah, I thought so. Here we go.
All right, this is Nathan Ener from Hempel, Texas.
Oh, Ener, not Ener.
If you don't like cussing, go ahead and cut this video off now. Or get your kids out of the room because I'm very pissed off. I give you time to do that for just a minute.
3, 2, 1.
Okay, I want to talk to you about what happened in Harris County with this black thug went up and just executed a deputy because he was a white deputy, because he was a law enforcement officer.
Okay, understand, first of all, that black thug was actually a person who had been repeatedly or previously found mentally incompetent even to stand trial. But it's okay, because it's Texas, and that means he needs a freedom-protecting gun freedom protector. Mm-hmm. Because Second Amendment, open carry. And, well, you know, of course.
Wolverines!
Right, yeah. Here we go.
It's going to end, and it's going to end with that. That's not going to happen anymore. That's the end of it. Y'all have pushed us to the limit, and we ain't going to take it no more. They stuff that us citizens can do, and we're fixing to do them, starting now. That black guy, he...
Yeah, he going to start us citizens. And all the citizens feel just like Nathan Ener. Right. Because, yeah, he in all his shiny white, doughy, pasty face privilege, speaks for everybody, all good God stand up for God fearing, upstanding, Bible believing, Christ centered Christian white people in Texas.
Pulled the trigger on that cop, but he really ain't the one that actually killed the cop. The one that killed him was these Black Panthers and all these black thugs that comes to your town and marches and hollers oink oink bang bang and all that retarded shit.
Black Panthers. Black Panthers! Woo! Brooga Brooga! Black Panthers! Yeah, who don't actually exist. Come to your town! Funny, I could have swore that fellow with the hood over his face, you know, the Grand Imperial Dragon, the Exalted Kleagle, it sounded just like Nathan Enner.
You know, they're the ones that's responsible for it. Them and people like Farrakhan wanting 10,000 volunteers to track people down, cops and all that, and kill them. Starting now, we holding these people responsible. Like I said, it stops now. Don't ever let a Black Panther or any black group come to your town and march in that town and get done and be able to get in their vehicle and leave.
Don't let any black group ever be able to do that. I mean, not even the United Negro College Fund, because amount is a terrible thing to waste. And we're going to waste them too. All right? If they come to your town, yo waste them. All right? No black group. I mean, I don't care if it's the revival of the goddamn Commodores. I mean, I love their music and that brick house and everything and that Three Times a Lady and all that shit. Yeah, I love that stuff. But we ain't going to let them come to Hemphill, Texas. Don't let no black group, them Black Panthers. And you know, Louis Farrakhan is the head of them Black Panthers. Good God Almighty. I mean, there's a breadth of stupid here you could drive a goddamn semi sideways through, but we're just going to let Nathan Enner continue.
That's over with. And law enforcement, I'm talking to you now. When we get there and we're going to be there, step aside. Do not try to stop us, because our fight is not with you. It's for you.
Okay, so are we clear here? He's telling the cops to step aside because he's going to commit some murder and mayhem. And I don't know necessarily that he was seen there, but good God, here we go again. The roulette wheel stopped and the little ball dropped and, hey, Sacramento, you're up. Courtesy of Sandra a few minutes ago. Active shooter. At least three shot on campus at Sacramento City College. Yeah. Three shot, one killed. Three people shot, one pronounced dead, no arrests made. According to CBS Sacramento, the shooting was reported to police just before 4 p.m., in the 3800 block of Freeport Boulevard, a witness says the shooting happened in front of the library. Police and deputies are searching for a suspect driving in a dirty gray van who is also being connected to a shooting that happened off Gerber Road this afternoon. Three male shooting victims. Suspect described male Pacific Islander, no shirt, cargo shorts. We are informed that Sacramento City College is a two-year community college located in Sacramento, California, part of the Los Rios Community College District, with an enrollment of 25,307 in 2009. And as Sandra remarked in her tweet, every fucking goddamn day, because freedom. By the way, Nathan Enner wants the police to get out of the way because they're doing this for them.
Now, I'm going to tell you old people, grandmas, grandpas, kids, all of you can get in on this.
You know, old people, kids. Whew, we got a real rocket surgeon here.
when there's a Black Panther group going to head to a town and they're going to rally and holler, kill cops, kill cops, law enforcement, you put it out and you let people know they're coming. And all you older people that wants to get involved, I got something for you. This is called a sling shot.
No, dumbass, it's called a wrist rocket. And I'm just helping because he was making a visual reference in this year's radio. I know, it is very easy to dismiss a jackass like this and say, well, you know, he's just a crackpot. He's not being hauled off to jail for these terroristic threats. Hell no. He's declaring his intent to start a civil war. Because I mean, there doesn't have to be marching armies in butternut uniforms and bands and people playing Dixie. That ain't how civil wars work. This is how they start. So he's got him a wrist rocket. What's he want us to do with it?
You go to Walmart and you get it. Okay, when these Black Panthers come to your town, to start with, they have to drive a vehicle. Well, that's where you start at. You disable them vehicles. You pepper their ass with rocks. You bust the windshields out.
Good thing you're not in Israel. Bibi'd have you shot down like a dog in the street for them rocks.
You stop them vehicles from running. When them Panthers has to walk and run out of town, they will not come back to your town. You people do that. Me, I will be there. If I have to be there by myself, I will, but I don't think I have to. All you guys like me that's able to stand up and fight, we gonna be there. Long as the law enforcement lets us know they're coming. And we're going to push them Panthers out of town. Never again will they stand in a street in Texas or anywhere else and holler, kill cops, kill cops. Them son of a bitches, their days are over with. And I'm not just talking today. I'm telling you, I'm going to be there.
In other words, he just made it clear that he is not making terroristic threats. He is making terroristic plans. And that he promises, I'm going to be there. I am a terrorist. Nope, no stories about Nathan Enner being hauled away in chains. Sorry.
And all you other people want to get involved, get that damn slingshot. Nobody's ever went to jail for a slingshot. Y'all get that.
Yeah, they have. You can kill people with a damn slingshot. They actually make steel ball shot for the damn things. And you can kill somebody deader than a 4,000-year-old pharaoh with one of those things. I'm sorry, his damn stupid his cracker-ass accent rubbing off on me.
Slingshot, get you some damn rocks, and when they come out in that street, we'll give you a few minutes to pepper their ass. You light them up like they got mumps and measles when they go home with all the bumps and knots all over their asses. They won't come back. And what's left of them, myself and some other people, will take care of that. Because we have had enough. There won't be another killing in Texas. I can promise you that. It might be a killing, but it won't be what you think.
No, it'll be an execution in the death house. Not that you'll get the death penalty, because, you know, you white.
There won't be no more cops executed in the state of Texas.
And there wasn't a cop executed recently. He was murdered. Executions are functions of governmental or semi-governmental or proto-governmental entities.
And like I said, you law enforcement officers, step the hell aside. Do not get in front of me. Do not try to stop any of us. Because we're doing this shit for you and for ourselves. What happened to the law enforcement, and it also happened to us.
Oh, by the way, Nathan Enner, just in case you was wondering about this good, God-fearing, upstanding, Bible-believing Christian, he was fired in February 2014. Fired to the Port of Galveston Police Department if I understand correctly, molesting a minor girl.
We're not going to take it anymore. We're done with it. It ends. It ends now, and it ends in the state of Texas, you sons of bitches. You Black Panthers and you thugs, you Black Lives Matter bullshit, you bunch of freaking retards, you better run and you better hide, because we're looking at videos, we're pulling names, and...
And we're going to molest your minor daughters, because that's what he did. He got taken down in a sting operation. There it is, from Click 2 Houston. Port of Galveston police officer accused of sexually assaulting girl. Mm-hmm. Come on, you can do it. There it is. There it is. There are actually two 14-year-old victims, one allegedly abused by one officer and the other by Nathan Enner. Through investigating that and talking to that victim, they developed information about the other child victim with Mr. Enner. Mm-hmm. Enner admitted to having sex with the girl 4 or 5 times over the last 2 to 3 years. He did admit to these types of allegations. Of course, these victims are always interviewed by professionals at the Child Advocacy Center, and she disclosed the same thing that he had admitted to. Yeah. And this is the guy going to bring law and order back about them Black Panthers. Let's stop with Nathan Enner here for a minute, and let's talk to the Angry Indian instead. What do you say, Angry?
Hey, my man.
How are you?
Well, I don't know. I had something to say up until you just came out with that little bit of information. So he also turns out to be a fucking...
rapist. Yeah.
A fucking pedophile goddamn abuser at that. Well, see, that's pretty fucking funny, because if you go on Twitter and you follow the fucking hashtag of this bastard's name, you'll see photographs, and if you go on YouTube, you'll find a video, because I've posted it on my goddamn Twitter feed, of him actually running into some of these new Black Panther cats, because, as you correctly pointed out, there is no new Black Panther Party. That's been made clear by the founders of the surviving members of the original Black Panther Party for self-defense. So there is no such thing, but he ran into a group of them who, I suppose, know him in Texas. And yes, they don't play in Texas. Whether I agree with their politics or not, they don't play in Texas. And he had the nerve to run up to them, because I guess there was about 18 cops in the vicinity. And he got face-to-face with them. And it turns out that his daughter, they confronted him and said, hey, the reason you're out here with all of this racism, one of the reasons anyway, is that your daughter likes Black men.
Uh-oh. Never saw that hat coming, did we? No.
It's on video. There's even a hashtag now. Ashley does. They say, you don't like Black people, but your daughter Ashley does. There's a hashtag now. Ashley does. She likes Black men and is driving you motherfucking insane. So, you know, he's a nutcase. But what I wanted to talk about quick, since we don't have that much time, is that you pointed out something else. Nathan Enner is out here making terroristic goddamn threats. Nobody is saying a fucking thing about him. And then there's a Black man, a young Black man. He's only 20 fucking years old. He's been arrested for making a Twitter post saying kill all the white people, which somebody said something to me that this is part of a song. These are lyrics of a song. And I don't listen to rap, so I wouldn't know, but... you know, the tweet read, I'm not going to stand for this no more. Tonight we purge, kill all the white people in the town of La Plata. So they can talk about rap lyric, but he made a threat, okay? So they traced him. They fucking got him. Carlos Anthony Hollins of Waldorf, Maryland. He's being held on $250,000 fucking bond. He was taken into custody without incident, and he's being charged with making a threat of mass violence. Now, here it is. You just played all of this audio from Nathan Enner. No one's being charged. There's another motherfucker out here who's threatening to do in Farrakhan. I can't remember his name. He's not being investigated or charged either.
Well, hell no. And meanwhile, down in Texas, another guy has walked. He's white, of course. He's walked after it has been alleged that he raped a 2-year-old girl and left her in a pool of blood.
Yeah. Yeah. The same thing happened in Canada not too long ago. They even brought this poor sister's fucking physical remains, her goddamn vagina, into the fucking courtroom for Indian people. Do you know how that made us feel? This is fucking occupied goddamn Canada, which has every Native American up there listed, every First Nations person in Canada listed as a potential fucking terrorist threat. This guy raped this woman, beat her the fuck to death. He was seen on video going into the room with her, but somehow he wasn't guilty of this. You know, that you had that other one who shot that woman in Texas. She was a prostitute. I think she was 22 years old or something like that. He said that she stole $100 from him. Because from what I from the way I got the story from the news, because this trial went on for a couple of years, that he called her. She was a call girl. He gave her the money. She gives the money to her pimp. She comes back to the house. Evidently, he got out of hand, and she said, "Get the fuck off me! I'm getting out of here." And tried to get home. He shot her in the fucking neck, paralyzed her. Then she died from her fucking injuries. And he was held not responsible because supposedly in Texas there's a law that you can shoot somebody, and if they die, fuck it, if they try to rob you at nighttime.
Yep.
So this is the
environment. And meanwhile, just since we're putting this little list out there, you know, we're all told now that Minnesota is a progressive paradise and the best place in America to live. Well, Marcus Abrams might have a differing view. He's legally blind. He has Asperger's syndrome. He's 17 years old. And he was hospitalized this past Monday after police officers beat the living hell out of him. He was having a seizure. It's all, of course, caught on video with somebody saying, "That man was just having a seizure." He said, "One had his whole body on my whole face, and I could not breathe." He had to be transported to the hospital. They were coming home from working at the Minnesota State Fair when Peter Bozicki and Richard Wegner, police officers, saw him stand for a moment on the tracks of the local train station. I mean, you know, for a split second. Cops came up, asked him for his ID, and then stuck his hands behind his back. When he didn't put his hands behind his back fast enough, they started beating the living hell out of him. No charges were filed against the young man. And his mama said, "Why aren't these cops in some way trained to deal with the autistic, the disabled, mentally challenged?" And, of course, my question is, why aren't these cops charged with a damn crime?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's a simple, you know, 1-2. Like, you have Sergeant James Brown. He had a DUI. He's in the States. He's normally defending the United States, fighting for fucking democracy in Iraq, right? He comes home, gets a DUI. They told him in court that he was going to do 2 days. He shows up where he's supposed to show up on time like he was supposed to. Surrenders himself, and then they tell him they're going to hold him for 2 weeks. So while he's trying to get himself bailed out to find out what, you know, and then defend himself from this extended stay in which the court did nothing like this was in his paperwork, somehow or another he wound up dead. And they told his family that he died from natural causes, to then find out that the video caught them beating him to death. This is Texas. This is the state of Texas.
Sure. And by the way, despite anything Nathan Inner says, Lieutenant Governor Dan Patrick down there in Texas, Dan, has declared who the real culprit is.
Oh, yeah.
You know who's responsible for violence against cops?
National Pentagon Radio.
NPR. You're damn right. Absolutely. Mm-hmm.
You know, first off, because I said it on Twitter when I first read about that case, you know, and it turns out that this guy was a nutcase. It's like the one in New York City who did that. He just shot his girlfriend, and she's a serving soldier, but nobody gave a damn about that, right?
Right.
We know all about the vets, but you know, these guys were not wrapped too goddamn tight. But the James Holmes, though, someone yelled at me, "Why can't I understand that he was crazy?" So, you know, this happens. So then you had the sheriff down there. The first thing he says is Black Lives Matter did this. We don't have a motive, but we know that Black Lives Matter did this. But we don't have a motive. In the same fucking press conference. We don't have a motive. We're still working on that. But we know that Black Lives Matter did this.
And I love that. Well, you know, we don't have a motive, but we don't have to have a motive.
Yeah, we're gonna say whatever we want.
That's what the prosecutor's office said down there. We don't have a motive in this killing. We don't know why this guy, who's previously been found incompetent to stand trial in another criminal matter, we don't know why he did what he did, but we don't have to know why he did what he did. And it's Black Lives Matter.
And then we have to hear Fox News talk about Black Lives Matter should be investigated as a hate group. And it's like, hey, are you motherfuckers insane? You're backing Trump. What the fuck is Trump doing? When he's not ching-chonging, doing a goddamn speech, or not insulting Native Americans because the original name of the goddamn mountain is given back to it. I mean, he insults women. He wants people counting his money.
Yeah, I got a bunch of black people counting my money. I'm not happy about it. I want a bunch of little Jews with beanies on their heads counting my money.
And see, and I'm going to get street here for a second, because this is the way he motherfucking talks. You know, there's a fucking photograph of him with Don Magic motherfucking Juan. Some of you out there know who the fuck I'm talking about. He's a famous motherfucking pimp, gentleman of leisure, representing Chicago, okay? Donald Trump is in a motherfucking photograph with that goddamn man. And I'm going to say something else since we're on this motherfucking track. If he's going to talk shit about goddamn immigrants, then he needs to get rid of his bottom bitch right now, because the chick that he's with right now is not fucking from here. If he really is serious,
yeah, but she's not from here, and she's white, though, right?
I mean, and she's white, yeah. See, that's okay. But see, but Piyush Jindal is talking that shit by anchor babies. He's a fucking anchor baby. Ted Cruz wasn't even fucking born here, and he's talking crap. Marco Rubio's a fucking liar. So, you know, all of these goddamn people are fucking nutcases, and anybody that supports them is a fucking nutcase. Legitimate rape? I will never let the fucking GOP go for that bullshit. And then what? More than damn near half of them still believe that Obama was born in Kenya and that he's Muslim? Come on. And Nathan Emma turns out to be a goddamn pedophile?
Kind of had to be, though, didn't it?
Well, because you and I both know, Brother Bob, that most goddamn Nazis, fascists, far-righters, and religious motherfucking fundamentalist nutcases are usually doing that type of shit. And they like to point at the Catholic Church because it's easy to point at the Catholic Church. But you got a whole lot of fucking imams and rabbis and Buddhist priests that are out here doing the same shit too. And how many motherfucking neo-Nazis have found out to be goddamn pedophiles? Look at the fucker that was trying to lead the March through Skokie. The neo-Nazi March through Skokie. That's what the fuck he went to the joint for. There's a ton of those goddamn sons of bitches that
absolutely
are running around.
Yeah, and unfortunately we've run out of time, but I didn't want to let Nathan Enner get too stale.
It shouldn't get stale.
People need to hear that.
Shouldn't get stale. But anyway, do what you can to support the show. All right, Brother Bob, peace.
Thank you, Angry. Bye now. And what Angry says is true, because we started the evening needing to raise 136, because we were actually ahead. Needed to raise $136.98, and we closed the program needing to raise $136.98. And remember, the offer is on the table for two tickets to the Southern 500 in Darlington, South Carolina, come Sunday. Hopefully you caught all the information on that. Thanks, everybody. Time to get out of here. Remember, of course, Gina, always, always, it's all for you. Good night, y'all.